I now share with you from this epistle lesson that we've been sharing each week as we were studying the fruit of God's Spirit. It's Galatians 5, beginning with 22. You might notice I said the fruit of God's Spirit, not the fruits, because these nine items that we're talking about are not necessarily individual fruits. All of them together are part of the fruit of God's Spirit in a whole sense. So it's not like we can pick and choose which ones to use in certain situations. We just bear the fruit of God's Spirit by doing all of these things. Here's what it says, Galatians 5, 22 and following. Listen to these words, for the word of the Lord. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against such things as these. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, then let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another and envying each other. In these words and others, throughout the Scriptures, we find the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. I titled today's sermon an odd word. I think I kind of made it up. It's kind folks. We know what kin folks are, don't we? When we have family reunions or get-togethers or a wedding or some other family celebration of someone's life, maybe. When we get together, we are with kin folks, right? We say the word kin, K-I-N, kin folks. Well, I just stretched that a little bit. And as kin folks in faith and in the life of the church and in ministry, I think it's vitally important for us to also be and become kind folks. And that's what today's word is about. We're breaking this fruit of the Spirit thing down to the microscopic level. You know, we're not supposed to really break these things apart and study each one individually as though each one is a fruit of the Spirit, leading us to use the plural word fruits of the Spirit to describe them. That's not the case at all. All of these things together paint a portrait of what the Spirit of God looks like. Love, joy, peace, patience. It's not pick and choose. It's adding to. So I'd like to talk to us today about planting kindness. And you heard me say talk to us, didn't you? Because when I do this, I'm not immune. I preach to myself too, okay? I just have already done that several times this week as I've prepared, but I'm listening too. I am a disciple of Jesus, same as you. It just happens to be a holy task and my calling to stay before you and to challenge you with it. I urge you toward a planting of kindness, to plant seeds of kindness in your world. And we do plant seeds, whether we know it or not, and we hope that whatever grows from those seeds will sprout and grow to take root and to thrive and to resonate with all the good things in life, and especially the good things about God's Holy Spirit. Well, the word kind or kin, kind folks, kind folks, we are related. But all too often, kin folks or kinspeople are not that kind to each other. Have you noticed that in a family? I have. I've counseled lots of families and lots of people, and I've certainly noticed that kin folks are not always kind folks, so there is a difference. But just maybe we are to be kind to each other all the time, to everyone, especially those whom we live with. Maybe we are to be kind and, well, to apologize when we fail or fall, as we will occasionally. Kindness does not prevent us from drawing our own boundaries, our own limits, or it doesn't exempt us from making our own needs clear. That's still important. And living in community to kindly help in accomplishing the things that to help accomplish the needs of others. That's what it means to be in ministry. And that's what it means, I think, to be kin folks or kind folks. Sharing in Jesus' work calls us to share in meeting each other's needs. Jesus calls us to be merciful, to be pure, and to be peacemakers, and to be those who share salt and light in the world. See, our words matter. What we say matters. I think almost as much as what we do. What we say matters. We can't take our words back, and once we put them out there, they take on a life of their own. That's what's the scariest thing about preaching a sermon. Because some of you will go home and talk about this at the dinner table or after or this week. Maybe I'm flattering myself to think that you would do that. But some little thing you heard may trigger a whole chain of thoughts in your mind. And those words that I said, or that single word that I said, all of a sudden has sprouted and started to grow in a new place, in a new way. We never know where our words land. Maybe they just keep flying around. Robin Williams said one time, "No matter what people tell you, words and ideas can change the world." So what impact do your words have, whether you speak them or sing them? What do your words make happen in the world? What do your words cause or bring into being? That's a good question. I don't have an answer for it, for you really or for me, because once we launch our words, once we launch them and send them out there, they kind of take on their own flight pattern. And if they land at all, they may land in a place very different from what we had in mind when we said them. Yet somehow we still have to be responsible for what we say. Scripture calls us to be kind, and to use our influence to spread kindness, to share kindness. It's the fifth one in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. We're halfway, okay? We're halfway looking at each one of these. I hope you'll come back again and again and the others. This one's challenging, though. This one's challenging. What we say, the words that we say, how much we can show kindness in our words. That's a measure of how much we let God's Spirit, which does live in us, in our very breathing, how much we can let that Spirit grow and have influence on our words that we say and on how they are received. You know the phrase that says, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's a lie. Because you know as well as I do that words can hurt. At the same time, words can heal. You can say to someone, "You're beautiful today." Or you can say to someone else, "You look worthless." Maybe you are worthless. Has anyone ever said that to you? It is not true. Don't believe it. You're a child of God. No matter what your age, whether you're 2 or 20 or 200, you are a child of God. And God's Spirit lives in you. It's just our responsibility to stay out of the way and let it come out. That may not be the kind of sermon that some of you are used to hearing. You're used to being hit over the head and said, well, you better act this way or you're not going to make it. You better act this way or God's going to zap you. Or you better act this way or not act this way or God's going to be knocking at your door. Whoa. I'd rather look at the positive side and not necessarily to be saying what we're not. I think we can all figure that out. But let's say what we are. And if we allow ourselves to be filled with God, and if we welcome God's Spirit to inflate us, even the lungs and the air that we breathe, if we let God's Spirit fill us, then there won't be near as much room for the things that get in the way. Be filled with the Spirit, singing to yourselves psalms and hymns and beautiful songs. That's the kind of filling that we need. And when we're filled with that Spirit, by the way, the word Spirit really means air. Did you know that? We talk about the wind of the Spirit in Genesis, the very beginning of Scriptures. The wind of God blew upon the face of the waters in creation. And in most translations, that's translated spirit, S-P-I-R. It's the same root that happens in the word inspire or respiration. And that means to breathe, doesn't it? Respiration is to breathe. That means to breathe again, respire. Inspiration. Desperation. No, that's a different root. Different word. So, if we are truly recreated in God's grace, then we are welcoming God's Spirit to take up residence in us in every breath. Breathing is so important. And when we breathe in and pray, we can breathe out and breathe out all the hurt and the challenge and the harm that we've experienced in a week, all the stress and frustration and deadlines and disappointments, and not only the way people have disappointed us, but the way we've disappointed others. When we can breathe all that out and let it evaporate, then we're ready to breathe in the Spirit of God and sing His praise. I'm on page 2 out of 8. That's going. Where is my editor? Skip that one. Fast forward. It was God's spoken word in creation that was productive and life-giving. But we have a mirror of that in the New Testament, in the very first chapter of John. And oddly, maybe it's not even odd. Certainly no coincidence, I think. Oddly, though, John begins with "in the beginning," just the same as Genesis does. Now, John is not the first book of the New Testament, but it's the fourth gospel. And all four of the gospels are kind of parallel accounts of Jesus' life and ministry. So in a way, John is one of the first four books, first books of the New Testament. So as we read John, we have words that remind us of Genesis. It says, in the beginning, Just like in the beginning in Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was out without form. And God's Spirit moved on the face of the waters. And we move to John 1, and we find the same three words. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. This is an affirmation, a New Testament affirmation that the Word made flesh, Jesus, our Lord, was God in human form, and as such was also eternal from the very outset. Jesus the Lord participated eternally in creation and continues to do so as we create and recreate and are created. All things came into being through Him, through the Word, it says. Life began and began in Him, and that life was the light of all people. And it's one of the most helpful parts to read, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. So God shows kindness from the very beginning of Scripture in creation and from the very beginning of the New Testament in recreation. So can you think of an act of kindness that's changed your life? I can think of no greater act than that of creation and recreation. And continual recreation, which gives us a chance to start over again and again. That gives us many chances to develop this kindness that we're talking about, the kindness of God mirrored in us in the fruit of God's Spirit that is alive in us. There is a necessity in our world for that kind of kindness. It is so needed. And the harvest of that kind of kindness is an attitude that is contagious. Why was Jesus so sought after? Why did crowds and throngs of people follow Him? It's because they were so attracted to His kindness. It's the quality of being friendly and generous and considerate. The word comes from Old English, which means a loving, affectionate, and relatedness. That's why we talk about the title of kingdom, of kind folks. That's why we talk about the kingdom dinners that Brian has had at the Wesleyan and here some. Kingdom, it is a relatedness. Dom is domination, like the realm or the influence of a king, the reign of a king, kingdom. Well, I like to mix it up, so I'm making up my own new word. If you can make one up, I can too. Kind folks. It's important for us to be kind, and this part of the fruit of God's Spirit is the very essence of God. And folks who are kind reflect the kindness of Jesus. Some of you remember the UMYF benediction. When we do that holding hands, when we stand together, we cross our arms like this, and we make sure we all cross them the same way, and we form a big circle. And when we get through with the prayer, we're going to invert that circle of faith where we've been facing each other and turn it inside out, where we're still holding hands, but we have our backs to each other and our fronts to the world to live out our faith. No doubt you were a youth once, and maybe you went to a United Methodist Youth Fellowship group. I won't ask you what decade that was, but If you were in a Methodist church, chances are you or your youth were in an MYF group at some point along the way. And chances are your youth group circled up at least a few times and shared that benediction. It is a blessing, and that's what benediction means. It means a good blessing. It was a ritual that we cherished and shared. In every time, in every place where I served in youth ministry, and many others as well. I'd like to end today with a quote. This is a quote from a poet named Henry Burton. And it's about kindness. I'd like us to focus on this and figure out ways to be kind. And remember that it's not just up to us. It is a fruit of God's Spirit that is alive in us. Listen to the words from Henry Burton. It's called Ending. Have you had a kindness shown? Pass it on. 'Twas not given for thee alone. Pass it on. Let it travel down the years. Let it wipe another's tears, till in heaven that deed appears. Pass it on. Let's step out of the mold this week and challenge ourselves to be kind in new ways and kindly point the way to God's grace in Jesus Christ. Let's be kind folks who walk with God and who draw others along the way, because we are definitely all related. Will you bow with me? God, we celebrate our kinship and our kindship in you. And we seek to live not just in your shadow, but in your Spirit. And to let your Spirit inflate us with your blessing, to be a blessing to others. Amen. If today is a day for you to come to fellowship in the church, or to come to faith in Christ for the first time, or to renew a step of faith, then you are invited. If today's a day for you to join this congregation of United Methodist people by any of the ways that we receive members, I would love to talk with you about that, and you are invited too. Let's talk and get together. If any of these is your pathway for today and you're ready to take a step, come as we sing these words and music of the invitation hymn. Will you rise with me and let us sing together? Tyler? are led out with the light of the Christ that goes before us. Let us step in His footsteps and let us make a difference. He calls us to be salt of the earth. Let us spread His love and sow the seeds of faith and life in every place that we go. In Jesus' name, amen.